Earlier today and twice yesterday, the cathedral was full of candidates to be baptized or received into the church at Easter. This weekend is the weekend of the rite of election, the final 6 weeks of preparation for those who are going to be baptized. And accompanying them were their families and, of course, their teachers, the directors of the RCIA program in parishes. And part of the ceremony is a commitment on the part of the church, the teachers, but also the rest of us, to accompany them as they prepare for baptism in two ways, by our prayers and by our good example. So I ask you to do that, you know, remember those who are preparing for baptism and reception into the church this Easter. And that's the purpose of Lent, really. Lent is preparing them, but also re-preparing us for our own renewal of baptismal commitment on Easter. And as you've heard me say every Lent before this one, the readings that the church gives us leading up to Easter during the season of Lent are basic lessons in how to be a Christian, in Christian spirituality. And there are three lessons that are given to us in our readings today. The first reading is from the book of Genesis, from the first book of the Bible. And what's described here is the temptation of Adam and Eve. You know, God created the world beautiful for us. The reading tells us that he planted a garden, and the garden was full of trees and plants. All of them were available to us for our happiness and for our pleasure, except one, which was the tree of life planted in the center of the garden. And in this reading, Satan, who comes as a snake, perhaps that's why we're afraid of snakes, so many of us are anyway, even big strong guys are sometimes terribly frightened by snakes. The snake symbolizes Satan, and Satan comes to the woman, to Eve, and says to her, is it true that God tells you you can't eat anything from this garden? We learn right away that the devil is a liar. You know, he's called the Prince of Liars in the Scriptures. And that's what temptations are. They're lies. But they're lies that seem to be true. And that's why we are tempted. Because there's no such thing as a temptation to be unhappy. Temptations are to make us feel better about ourselves or in some other way. Anyway, the devil lies and says that, and Eve says, oh, no, 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 God didn't say that. God said we could eat anything except from that one tree. But if we eat from that one tree, we're going to die. And then listen what the devil says, another lie. He says, the serpent said to the woman, you certainly will not die. No. God knows well that the moment you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, who know what is good and what is evil. Well, that's a lie, because we know from the beginning of the story of creation that God wants us to be like gods. We're told that he made man and woman in his image and likeness. So you and I are made to be like God, to see things as God sees them, to think as God thinks, to love as God loves, and to act as God acts. So that was a lie. But the next part of what he said, the last part of what he said, is true. We are not the ones to decide what's good and what's evil. That's the one prerogative God claims for himself in the story of the creation of man and woman. You know, the word prerogative means a right, you know, the right that only one person has. And God claims for himself the right to decide what's right and what's wrong. Actually, he doesn't decide that. It's part of the way the world is created, right? And the temptation of Adam and Eve is not a simple temptation to be and act and love like God, but to be the arbiter or the decider of what it means to be a human being. They want to be autonomous. They want to make decisions for themselves without being told what to do. You know the Frank Sinatra song, "I Want to Do It My Way." Well, that's what Adam and Eve decided to do, and look what it got us, what trouble it got us into. You know, all the problems that you experience, the psychological problems, the spiritual problems, the physical problems, my poor old knee, all of those things are the result of the decision of Adam and Eve to be autonomous. And that original sin has been passed on from generation to generation to generation. And you see it in your babies. Any babies here tonight? No, babies are cute, but they want to be autonomous, you know. They want food when they want it. They don't care what's going on in your life. They want it now, you know. They want attention now. They want to be the center of the world now, you know. And you and I have grown up, but we're still babies. You know, down deep, we want it our way. We want to be in charge. So that's what temptation's about. That's what original sin is about. And the season of Lent is a time for the ones preparing for baptism and us to reorient our lives, right? To take ourselves out of the center and put God back there where He belongs. To take ourselves out of the center and put our family and our friends and other people there where they belong. Take us out of the center and put ourselves where we belong, which is third in line, not number one. God, others, and then ourselves. That's the pattern that leads to happiness. And that's what it means to be a human being, to live our lives pattern after the pattern that God has given us. So we have a dysfunctional sense of freedom, don't we, as human beings? You know, dysfunctional in the sense that it's inappropriate. You know, God wants us to be free, but to be free from ourselves, not free to do what we want to do. We do not determine the meaning of human existence. God, our Creator, does that. Our second reading, which Christopher read for us, even though it's a very difficult reading to read or even to understand, you can study it time and time again. I think it's the most difficult reading of the church here, so did a good job, Christopher. But what St. Paul is talking about here is that Adam is not really the first man. Doesn't that sound strange? The first man is Jesus. And Adam is just a type of him, a prefiguring of what God intended. You know, the theology of this is the question, would God have become a human being if we didn't need to be saved because of the sin of Adam and Eve? Or did God become a human being just to save us? And the Franciscans in their theology, and I'm a Franciscan, have always maintained that even if Adam and Eve hadn't sinned, God would have become a man in Jesus Christ, because that was God's plan from the beginning. God's plan was to give Himself away to us in love, and He would have done that regardless of our sin. But we wouldn't have crucified Him as we did, you know. We crucified love when we crucified Jesus on the cross. And listen to what St. Paul says. I'll try to simplify it by leaving most of it out, okay? Brothers and sisters, through one man sin entered the world, and through sin, death, and thus death came to all men, inasmuch as all sinned, okay? And then goes on, just as through one transgression, condemnation came upon all, so through one righteous act, acquittal and life came to all. For just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, so through the obedience of the one, the many will be made righteous. In other words, Jesus is the second Adam for the new creation of the world after the pattern that God had originally planned for us. Actually, he's really the first Adam, but you know, because of the history of our sin, he came to redo what had been undone by the sin of Adam and Eve. Sin came through one, righteousness comes through the second Adam, through Jesus Christ. And all of us are made righteous because of our participation in the new Adam through our baptism. That's what's going on at the Easter season. The world gets started over again. The story of Adam and Eve is reversed. And Jesus shows us the way to be obedient and submissive to the plan of God, which leads from death to resurrection. So it's not about negativity. It's about overcoming negativity. You know, the cross is not a sign of sadness, but a sign of hope, because our sin was nailed to the cross with Jesus so we might have a fresh start, a new beginning again. And then we come to today's gospel. A couple of lessons from today's gospel. First of all, the context is a lesson. Jesus, in the chapter prior to chapter 4, where this reading is from, Jesus was in the desert. Jesus was at the Jordan River and was baptized by John the Baptist. And as he came out of the water, the sky opened up, a dove came down, and they heard God's voice saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And that, of course, is a precursor of God being very pleased with us in our baptism, because we take on the identity of his Son. We all become sons in the Son, whether we're women or men. We all become sons in the Son through our baptism. But you notice, immediately after baptism, this is true about Jesus, but true about you and I, this happens. At that time, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. And that happens all the time. We're tempted by the devil, even after our baptism, and sometimes more seriously after our baptism. And in this reading, we learn that part of what it means to be a Christian is to learn to say no to certain kind of things. The majority of Christian life is a yes. We learn that from the profession of faith at our baptism. There are five questions. One of them is about no, and the other four are about yes. Do you believe in God the Father? Yes. Do you believe in Christ his Son? Yes. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? Yes. Do you believe in the church, the resurrection of body and life everlasting? Yes. The first question is, well, we have to say yes, but it's a no. We say, the question is, do you reject Satan and all his works and all his empty promises? And we say, yes. I'm not going to do what the devil tempts me to do. What the devil tempts me to do are empty promises. Look good, but mean nothing. And one of the famous American writers, Mark Twain, offered a plan for overcoming temptation. He said, the best way to overcome a temptation is to give in. And it happens very quickly. You give in and the temptation's gone, right? But we don't see that in Jesus. We see Jesus being tempted by the devil and always saying no. So you and I, as disciples of Jesus, have to learn to say no to some things in life if we're going to be Christians. And sometimes the things we have to say no to on the surface look like good things. And we learn that from the gospel passage. Because the first temptation that Jesus has is the temptation to turn stone into bread. What's wrong with that? When you're hungry, that sounds pretty good. If you had that power, you could feed the poor and the hungry of the world. Looks good. The second temptation of Jesus is about people believing in him. The devil took him to the top of the temple. Imagine in your mind the tower of our cathedral. And the devil said to Jesus, now listen, if you want people to believe in you, all you have to do is throw yourself off the top of this temple, and God's angels will keep you from dashing against the stone, and everyone will believe. Believing in Jesus is a good thing, right? So on the surface, that sounds like a pretty good thing to do. And the third temptation that Jesus has is about politics. The devil takes him to the mountaintop and shows him all the kingdoms of the world and says, if you want to have political power, all you have to do is bow down and worship me. You don't have to believe it, just do it, and then you can have all this power. And in every case, Jesus, quoting scripture, says no. And the reason he says no is because the devil is tempting Jesus to act on his own in an autonomous way without the Father. He's tempted to turn the stone into bread for himself. You know, he's tempted to make a spectacle of himself for himself. He's tempted to become the ruler of the world for the glory that comes with it for himself. And in every case, Jesus turns it upside down and says no, because he wants to be dependent on the Father rather than autonomous. So if you're going to be a Christian, you have to learn to do it God's way and not your way. So let God be the decider about the meaning of life, what's good and what's bad. And if we do that, the order of creation is restored and all becomes new. It's an extraordinary thing. So we have 6 weeks to get ready for a new world, beginning with ourselves and our hearts. You know, and all the readings on the weekdays and Sundays of Lent help prepare us for that act of unselfishness. When you get baptized, when you renew your baptism, you're giving up yourself and committing yourself to God. May God bring to completion the good things he desires in our lives today.